Awesome. We are started. We are live. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our worship this morning. Thank you that we're able to come before you, Lord, and sing our praises to you. Thank you and bless you for Stuart as he was clicking there. Just pray that Stuart and Corinne have a blessed time now as they head off to be with family. Thank you for them, Father. So thank you for our time. Thank you that we're here. Thank you for everyone now joining in online or watching later. Speak out a blessing out over them too, Father. And thank you that we've come to look at your word now. Gather around your scriptures, your incorruptible seed, literally breathed from you. Thank you for these truths. Thank you for these seeds we're about to plant in our hearts. And as we do before every sermon, before we ever, any time we read the word, just speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus so that these seeds are not stolen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Going off on a tangent this week. Completely different tangent. What was it Monty Python used to say? Now for something completely different. So we're really off on something quite different this week. But it's based upon a little mind map I drew, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, in our Thursday night Bible study, when I was talking about the different encounters that Jesus has had with people, when we're showing that these are expressions of his love. So as we were talking about that, I saw something completely different. So I want to use the scriptures that I've been using for the last 3 weeks and talk about something different. I'm going to use the three encounters of Jesus, so the woman at the well, the leper, and the woman with the issue of blood, to talk on an issue that I think some of us have concerns about, something that we're not good at, or think we're not good at, think we're not doing it enough, worrying about some of us. I want to cover that. I have heard from many people, some of you, many others in the church, that they don't think they tell people enough about Jesus. I'm not sharing the gospel enough. I'm not telling people about Jesus enough. Worrying about it. I think I should be sharing more. I think I should be out there doing more. And I include myself in that statement. I often leave people and think, should I really told them about Jesus? Should I really taken that chance? Should I really moved them there? But I didn't. And I kind of got over the condemnation of it, but I'm still challenged by it. But I was thinking about that as I was listening to our discussion that Thursday night about the three pictures that we see of Jesus. This new phrase I like to say, instead of sharing the gospel, instead of preaching, instead of evangelizing, I see it as extending the kingdom. Opportunities to extend the kingdom. Now, I don't want this to turn into a condemnation message of you sitting there thinking, yeah, you're absolutely right, Vic, I don't share Jesus enough. That's not what this is about. It's not meant to be that. I hope to encourage you. But it's one of those messages that I'm not 100% certain that it's ready to deliver, because I don't know if it's 100% in here yet. But I'm going to go for it anyway, because I've been thinking about it all week. I want to show you some pictures where Jesus extends the kingdom with a Samaritan woman at the well, when he heals the leper, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood. And I'm hoping that it's going to encourage you if you're one of these people like me who you think, I don't go out and evangelize enough. So hopefully that's what I'm going to do today. See, we can and we should look to Jesus to see how to extend the kingdom. That was his job after all. What was his mission? That was his role profile. He was here to extend the kingdom. And we can look and see at him, how, when to speak out the truth to other people, how to share faith, how to extend the kingdom. And I want to start by looking at 1 Thessalonians 1. One Thessalonians one, verse 6 says, "For you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost." We looked at this verse a long time ago. Remember when I started my study of 1 Thessalonians? Was that this year? It's a long time ago, so we started our study of 1 Thessalonians. We saw that people became followers or imitators of Paul and his team. And as a result of that, they became followers or imitators of Jesus. Yeah? We are in a long line of believers imitating those that have come before us, all the way back to Jesus. As we're imitating our leaders, we're imitating their leaders, imitating the great examples in the faith. As a result, we are imitating Jesus. Now, what this is telling us really is we can read about Jesus and imitate him. We can look to the Gospels and imitate him as our role model. And I want to do that today, looking at Jesus extending the kingdom, see models and pictures for us. So let's quickly go over those three again. You know them all by now, but I want to just quickly read them. Let's look at John 4. John 4, verse 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria." No, he didn't. That's another sermon. That's another message. "He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink." And then we know all the rest of that story. Jesus approached her. And then let's look at Mark. Mark 1 and verse 39. "And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed." Somebody came and spoke to Jesus, approached him, asked him questions. And then Matthew 9. Matthew 9, verse 20. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garments. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. And Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour." Another different type of encounter. No conversations, no nothing. No questions, no chat. Just an event and an opportunity to change the kingdom, to extend the kingdom. Three encounters where Jesus, we see him involved. The kingdom being extended, truth being shared, miracles dispensed, salvations, loads and loads of stuff. What I want to look at this morning, I want to look at see what Jesus did and see how we can imitate that. I want to encourage you, if you're not doing one model, there are more ways open to us to do the business. Okay, that's kind of what I'm getting at today. See, I think one way is what we think we are expected to do all the time. I think the church, the body of Christ, the expectation upon us is to go out there and preach to everybody that we come across. And go up to everybody and tell them all about Jesus. Get out there, evangelize. That's what I've felt a lot of leaders have been expecting of me. And I'm not like that. I think that's what's expected of us. And for some of us, if not most of us, that can be hard. That can be uncomfortable. We were walking through Glasgow on Friday afternoon. And there was this guy from Helmsdale. Well, I didn't ask him, but I kind of knew from his accent. Standing outside, what was it, on Tucky Hall Street? Buchanan Street. Standing outside a building, proclaiming the gospel, shouting it out at everybody that went past. It's not me. That's not for me, I have to be honest and say. But that's a model he used. He was trying to approach people. He was proclaiming the gospel. I have to be honest and tell you, I operate in more of the other two ways. And I think that's probably the same for most of us. But what are the three ways we see Jesus operating? The three ways we see Jesus in this extending the kingdom. He approached a person and he initiated the conversation. And it was about himself. Okay? So what's the method for us? We approach someone and we start speaking about Jesus. Model one. Model two, he was approached by the leper. The leper asked him a question. He responded. What's the approach for us? The model for us, somebody comes to us, somebody asks something about our faith, about our church, about our ministry, about Jesus, whatever. We get in there. Like a ferret down a rabbit hole, as you could say. But there's an opportunity for us to share. We'll let them to go out there and be the initiator. What's the third model? Jesus was just going about his business and he responded to an event. And I think that's the one that will be most often for us. We're going about our business, we're living our lives, something happens, we get the chance to extend the kingdom. Let me talk about all those. Now, there seems to be a section, and it is probably a minority of the body that seems to think we should be doing model one the whole time. Getting out there, preaching the gospel, sharing with the Lord. It's what I hear, it's what I heard all week at the conference. It's what Andrew Womack was like, probably still is. Once he was saved and had that encounter, he just went out and told everybody. It was his only topic of conversation. That's Andrew Womack, not Vic Cameron. I don't get condemned because Andrew does that and Vic doesn't. But there is a section of the body of Christ that thinks that's what it should be like. And I have felt, not being explicitly told, and it was probably just my feeling and just me, but because of that, I have felt to be a lesser Christian. Letting down the Lord, ashamed as it were. But that is not the case. Some of us are shy. Some of us are not great at initiating conversations. And something that Nunzi says, some of us think about what to say half an hour later after the event. After we've had time. Hours after the event sometimes. We went in for breakfast on Saturday morning at the hotel and I saw two of my football buddies from Forest. Oh, Paul, what are you doing here? And then I clocked, there was a band on Glasgow on Friday night, which is one of his favourite bands, and they are called The Damned. Anyone heard of The Damned? Yeah, Captain Sensible, Rats, Gabies, all those guys. Anyway, I had a chat with them, that was great. All right. Anyway, hours later, we were in the car. Nunzi says, oh, we met those guys, you know, they said they went to see The Damned last night. You should have said, well, now you can see The Saved this morning. You know, so sometimes you get the line hours and hours later. Some of us are just not good at that instant or approaching people or whatever. Anyway, but it is a model. I agree it is a model. And I actually agree we should be doing it. Now, I'm not telling you, listen to the double negatives here, where I am not telling you, don't go out and preach the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying some of us are not great at it, and don't condemn yourself if you don't do it, because there's another two ways that Jesus mimicked, that Jesus pictured for us, and we can imitate. But there are times, I agree, the word tells us, there is an onus on us to go out and make disciples. There is an onus on us to go out and be the initiator. We see Jesus modeling it. So there is a time to do it. I agree with that, to go out, to evangelize, to actively share the kingdom. But not always, amen. There are other ways. Other ways displayed in the Gospels. The second one is the leper. The leper comes to Jesus. The leper asks him the questions. The leper initiates the conversation, initiates the dialogue, and gives Jesus an opportunity to respond and extend the kingdom. That can and does happen to us. Hopefully you experience that as well. People know who you are, know what you are, know the stupid things you do on a Sunday morning. Goodness, instead of lying in bed drinking coffee, you're up and you're out, you're at church. People know that. This is one of the common ways I find I get a chance to share my faith. Just about every time, and I do mean just about every time I teach whiskey, someone sidles up to me and says, tell me about your church, tell me about your faith, tell me about you being a minister. Just about every time. And that's a great, it allows me to share, plant seeds. They ask the question, it's their fault. When we launch in, gives us a right to share, as it were. Tell me about your faith. Right, sit down. Are you comfortable? I will begin. That gives us a chance. However, it's a chance, it's an opportunity, and there is an onus on us to be ready. We have to be ready for that. And you know what? We have to be prepared for it. And also go out expecting it. I am not great at approaching someone and just blah, going on about Jesus. But if someone approaches me and asks the question, I like to think I'm ready to speak to them about it. Because folks, people will question you. We need to be aware of this. We need to be aware of this. As believers, if we profess to have a faith, people will watch. People are watching. I know that. They've told me. Sometimes out of genuine interest. Sometimes to catch us out. And sometimes hoping for us to fall. But you know what? Even when you fall, there's a chance to preach the gospel. Yeah, I know I've just fallen, but hallelujah. Thank you that the Lord loves me and I'm forgiven. What message that is to tell someone. But they are watching us, how we behave, what we say, what we do. I know this because I used to be an atheist and I was watching them to catch them out. So we need to be careful. We need to be ready. 2 Timothy 4:2 tells us this. Paul writing to a minister, a pastor, younger man in the faith. God, where is 2 Timothy? There you go. That's why Paul traveled alone. Yeah. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. What's Paul telling Timothy? Be ready with an answer. Be ready all the time. Be prepared to explain what you believe in at any time. You know, the Bible has got a great way of just covering everything with a simple statement. You know, Jews and Gentiles, everybody in the world. Yeah? In and out of season, anytime. Anytime and all times. That kind of covers that. Look at 1 Peter 3:5. That's before 2 Peter. That's not right. It's 15. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Well, that's a specific verse. You don't need to get the Greek to understand this. You need to be ready to give an answer to any man for the hope that you have. Do you have hope? Yeah, one nod, one yes. Yeah. We have hope. What are we hoping? What are we hoping for? We need to be ready to give an answer to that question. I could come up to you this morning and say to you, what are you hoping for? Why do you put your hope in Jesus? And we all need to answer. We need to be able to answer that. Now, so do I know what I'd say if somebody asked me that in Alistair this afternoon? You go to church, what are you hoping for? Oh, gosh. Lady at the checkout, what have you been up to this morning? Oh, I'm just back for church. Well, why on earth do you go to church? Well, your obvious answer is because I've got a fantastic pastor who's an awesome teacher. But I mean, I need to think of my answer. Hallelujah. Yeah. Jesus approached someone. Someone approached Jesus. That's two models. But there is another one. How else can we share the gospel? How else can we extend the kingdom? I tell you how. Be you. Just be you. And just go about your business. Just do what you need to do. Then respond when something happens. Now you may be thinking, what on earth are you? That's not evangelism. What are you talking about here, Vic? Well, all I think Jesus pictures this for us with a woman with the issue of blood. Jesus is going somewhere else. When I was preparing this message, I could remember where he was going. Is he going to Jairus' house? Oh, thank you. He's going to Jairus' house. Kind of slipped my mind, but it came back. He was doing something else. He was going about his business. He, in a sense, he wasn't relating to this woman. They weren't in conversation. It's not as if he wasn't interested in her, but you know what I mean? He was focused. He was doing something else. He was going somewhere. Doing another job, going on another mission. No conversation, no questioning, but an event caused Jesus to respond. We all know what the event was. She touched the garment. But Jesus didn't initiate that. She didn't shout at him. The account of the Good Samaritan is another example of this. That Good Samaritan didn't go out to extend the kingdom that morning, deliberately. But an event happened, and he took the chance to go, sow seeds and extend the kingdom, be compassionate, helpful. He responded to this opportunity. We all have lives to live. We all have places to go, people to see, jobs to do. We are not all evangelists in the fivefold ministry. And we mustn't condemn ourselves if we're not an evangelist in the fivefold ministry. Yes, we can evangelize, but we're not all evangelists. But we all have things to do, places to go, people to see, lives to live. We've all got that. But how we react to situations can give us an opportunity to share the gospel, to preach the good news, to share the truth, to extend the kingdom. I went into a lift this weekend. I'd gone down to the reception to do something. I was getting back into the lift, and there was a Muslim couple in front of me. I'm kind of making a big judgment, but I'm just, you know, colour, things on heads. Anyway, okay. So I'm kind of assuming... It was a Muslim husband and wife. So they got into the lift first, and they're quite small lifts. So being a sensitive chap that I am, post-COVID and all that malarkey, I said, do you mind if I come in as well? Of course. So I stepped in, pressed four, they pressed one. And we were just standing there. So it was just a short trip because they were going to the first floor. And just as she went out, she said, I'm sick of the COVID rules. After all, God is with us. And then she was off. Now, before I could respond, they were out the door and it was closed when I was going up to my room. But that's an example of what I mean of responding to an event and with the possibility of planting a seed or extending the kingdom. I didn't go into the lift with those people to say, hey, do you know Jesus? And they weren't in the lift, didn't see me coming in and saying, hey, can you heal me? Tell me about Jesus. No, but because of what she said, an event, I could have got in there and responded to that comment, but they were away. Can you see that? I didn't go looking for it to preach the gospel. They weren't looking for it. But because we had an encounter, there was a possibility to do something there with the kingdom. And that happens to us all the time. Yeah, we on the way home, we went to Glasgow for a couple of days. A bit of rest, relaxation. Went to a distillery, obviously. Busman's holiday. And it reminded me about a situation I had in Glasgow many, many years ago. I probably told a lot of you about it. It was pre-MGF days. It was the old church days. We're going to a church conference in Glasgow. We were sitting in a car outside a hotel on a busy street waiting for someone to come out. And this homeless guy came up and started knocking on the window. So I ignored him the first time. And he knocked again. Oh, okay, brilliant. Great. What's this going to be? Wanting money. Rolls down the window. And yeah, he said, excuse me, are you lost? You need some directions. So he was wanting to help. But I said, no, it's okay, mate. Cheers. We know where we're going. Thanks. So he went away. Now, there was an opportunity to extend the kingdom that I didn't take. But, boy, the Holy Spirit wanted me to. It's all morning at this conference. All morning. Go and see that guy. Go and see that guy. Go and see that guy. But I'm 2 miles away now. Go and see that guy. But he's not going to be there, Lord. Go and see that guy. Holy Spirit talking to me all through that conference. So at lunchtime, I headed back up over the Clyde and up the street to the hotel where we were. Couldn't see him. Had a look into the car park. There he was, sitting in the car park. So went over, asked him how he was, all that. Was anything he needed? He said he wanted some warm clothes. So I gave him what I had. What I had was my Bible and some cash. And then I went and I bought him a fleece. Came back. He wasn't there. He'd gone. Nunzi used it after that, and we called it Robert's fleece because that was the name of the guy. But I went back to Glasgow about 2 years later, and I met the guy again. And this time he was dressed, he was selling the big issue. He looked great. We recognized each other. And now, I don't know if he's a believer then. I don't know if he's a believer now. But I planted a seed and potentially extended the kingdom. Why? Because I reacted to a situation. I responded to that possibility of a chance of preaching about Jesus. Now, I didn't go out in that morning thinking, I'm going to go and preach the gospel to the homeless. And that guy didn't come up to me and say, tell me about Jesus. But there was that encounter where I reacted to a situation. I don't know if I'm explaining this well, but I've been thinking about it for most of the week. It seemed clear to me. It seemed clear to me when I was thinking about this on Friday night, but maybe it's a bit muddled, but that's okay. 3 ways of extending the kingdom modeled by Jesus. Now, there's another problem for us. But Vic, that was Jesus. Yeah, a bloke with the Holy Spirit. Is that all Jesus was? No, obviously not. But when Jesus was on this earth as a man, he was a man under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. A man in relationship with his Father, who just happened to be God the Father, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Anybody else in here who's in relationship with God the Father and under the influence of the Holy Spirit? There you go. We've no excuse. None at all. I'm paraphrasing, but Jesus said, guys, church, you're not only going to do what I did, you're going to do greater things. Greater as in number. Jesus is one person who's on the earth. We're more than one. Amen? Amen. You can do all that. We are the same. We are in relationship with the Father. We are operating under the Holy Spirit. And that was one of the key messages that we received at the ministers' conference this week. Andrew specifically talking about godly leadership, but how everything from that flows from relationship with God the Father. All the other rules, being humble, having integrity, and all the other rules, I can't remember at the moment, all other seven of them, talk about them later, all come back to having a relationship with God the Father. That's what Jesus had. We have the opportunity to have that. Now, I'm not saying you're not in relationship with God the Father, but we all know we're in relationship with lots of people. Some of them are good, some of them are bad. We need to cultivate our relationship with the Lord. And oh, great. And then Bob was teaching on the power of the Holy Spirit, among other things, and baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've got that. I've got that. You've got that. We've got no excuse. We can do what Jesus did. We can model those three types of encounters. We may not be good at number one, but we can do two or three. You might be brilliant at number one. Keep doing all three. Relationship for the Father. Everything is easier. Everything flows better if we are in relationship with God the Father and letting the Holy Spirit guide us. I wouldn't have met Robert once. I wouldn't have met him twice if I hadn't been listening to the Holy Spirit and letting him guide me. That was like really the first time in my life I was so prompted by the Holy Spirit. It was almost like he was pushing me out of the seat. I was being so challenged that I was obviously listening that day. No, because it's not like the Holy Spirit hasn't been pushing me out of seat since. Just me being listening. When I met Robert, that time I listened to the Holy Spirit after an encounter, and he let him guide me. So what's tips from this week's sermon? Tip that I'm advice I'm taking for myself. Listen very carefully, because I am going to add a proviso when it says, don't try and evangelize more. I'm going to add something to that. Don't try and evangelize more. Develop your relationship with God the Father. Don't try and manipulate situations to share. Develop your relationship with God the Father. Don't condemn yourself because you're not doing all these great things. I mean, that great thing I told you about, Robert, that was like 15 years ago. I was like, what have you done in between, Vic? Don't condemn yourself. Develop your relationship with God the Father. Do not condemn yourself that you're not going around telling every man and his dog about Jesus. No, I'm not discouraging you and telling you to stop doing it if that's what you're doing, okay? But don't condemn yourself if you're not just going out there and telling everything that moves about the Lord. What would I tell you to do? Go about your business. Be you. Go to your jobs. Do your work. Go to your businesses. Go shopping. Go volunteering. Do whatever you do. Just go live your life. Go to the places you have to go to. See the people you have to see. But prepare. Because I've already spoken about being in the Word and all that. Prepare. Be ready for that question you are asked. Be ready to answer the question any man asks you. It's what the word says. You're not going to like all the questions. You're not going to get the ones that you want. Bob, I think it was Bob, was telling us when he was younger, he went to an evangelization class and all he did was give you the questions that you'd be asked and the answers you would give. And he said the first thing he went out and evangelized, the question he got asked wasn't on the sheet of paper. But how do I prepare then for any question? Develop your relationship with the Lord. Spend time with Him. Spend time in His Word. That's developing your relationship. Meditate on Him, on His Scriptures. Prepare, yes. Study, pray, meditate, spend time with the Lord. And be ready to extend the kingdom when that chance comes along. Because it will come along. There was somebody, I can't remember who it was at conference, was talking about Billy Eckhart. Things happen with divine encounters. So expect divine encounters. Pray for divine encounters. Who am I going to meet today, Lord? I remember going to a conference ages and ages ago, and people were talking about praying before you go out. Was it called treasure hunting?
Oh, yeah.
Treasure hunting? But that was simply just the thing in thing. But what it was pray to the Lord, who am I going to meet today? Who am I going to minister to today? Who do I need to be ready for today? For me, the big thing is to be expectant. Someone will ask me about my faith today. I will get an opportunity today to share, to potentially extend the kingdom. I think that's what we need to do. But we need to be ready. Ready and prepared for that. And please don't beat yourself up when someone gets out of the lift before you have a chance to share, metaphorically. Please don't beat yourself up when you're halfway up the A9 before your wife tells you what you should have said. You know, don't beat yourself up when you miss those chances. But hey, keep looking for it. Be ready. Prepare to do the best you can with what you have. But always thinking, I'm going to get better, understand it more, be able to have better answers. Prepare yourself for that. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready in church. Be ready at a minister's conference. Be ready at a worship seminar. That, to me, I think, is what's in season. Because that's when you're kind of expected to give the answers and have the ministry and all that. But also be ready in the lift, on the streets of Glasgow, in a pub, at a footy match, in Asda or Tesco. That's out of season. Is it like your ministry and church time? Secular time, as it were. I don't like splitting things up. But just be ready anytime. Ready with an answer and why you have a hope in Jesus. Cultivate your relationship with the Lord to be ready. To hear Him. See, if you're in relationship with the Lord, if you're in a better relationship with the Lord, it's not that He's going to speak to you more, but you're more likely to hear Him and more likely to get that answer that the person in front of you needs. It's all about relationship with the Lord. If you're in relationship with Him, we will hear His direction better. We will feel His guidance better. We'll answer those difficult questions well if we're tuned in to Him. Be expectant. Be ready. Be conscious of what's going around you with a compassionate heart. You can do that. You can be like Jesus. You're a Spirit-filled, born-again believer who has the Word of God and who knows the Father. Amen. What else do you need? We don't need anything else. And hey, final takeaway. Cut yourself some slack when you're not as good at this as you want to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. Loads of messages from India today. Sundar, Santi's online. Awesome.